Praise the Lord.
And now, I forgot that earlier, it's time for our kids to draw near to their classroom. Silvana has been waiting patiently. You will have a great time, and the rest of us, we can be seated. Or you can be seated. I will remain standing. All right. If you have your Bibles with you, let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And there was one announcement that I forgot. You know, I bragged so arrogantly that I'm so good at announcements, so I forgot one. We will have WordFest next Friday. Next Friday, it's Good Friday. We'll have WordFest, and we'll just take one, it will start at 7. And we'll just take 1.5 hours, and what we'll do is we'll speak about, you know, what we spoke about last year, Good Friday, you know, what happened from the cross to the throne, what Jesus has done when he died on the cross, when he went to the grave, when he rose again, you know, what happened in that time in between. We'll see how good God is, how much he loves us, how much Jesus loved us, and how wonderful it actually is what Jesus has done for us, and then we'll take communion together. Right? Perfect day. So you're invited. You know, this, it will be in the Stadthalle, 7 p.m., about 1.5 hours, not that long. But we'll just, you know, come together, look at what Jesus has done. Number two is winning again. And we'll have a good time because God is good. All right, in our Bibles, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we will read verses 16 and 17. It says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." 2 weeks ago, you know, I talked about how important the Bible is, how important the Scripture is, that all Scripture is inspired by God. And that word means God breathed. It literally means, you know, God was breathing out, you know, and then it says he moved people to write it down. But this is talking about Scripture, talking about something that was written down, something very tangible. Not just somewhere, this concept of, sure, the Word of God is powerful. No, it gave us something that we can know is from God. And then last Sunday, I talked about how important it is, you know, to have this life of intimacy with Jesus, to have a close relationship with Jesus. You know, that's what it comes from. We all have heard people that have studied theology, but they don't have a relationship with Jesus. Right? And we all know that doesn't sound very good, right? So maybe you've seen them on TV, and all their life they have studied the Bible and the Hebrew and the Greek, and they know all the history around it, and they could kill you with their knowledge of Scriptures, but their relationship with Jesus is just not there. They don't know God. They don't know the one who was breathing out those Scriptures. So, of course, when we talk about the Bible, we are not talking about the Bible separated from Jesus. But something that happened in the last 20, 30 years, especially in charismatic Christianity, is that somehow they went the other way. You know, they separated Jesus from the Bible. And it's something I've seen coming for years, but now you actually hear people having this mindset, oh yeah, we went beyond the Scriptures. You know, this was nice, this was good for the beginning, but we went beyond it. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you are going beyond the Scriptures, you went too far. God never intended you to go that way. All right, so I'm just gonna walk through these two verses just a little bit and just see how important the Bible actually is in our life, and how wonderful it is that God has given us everything we need as a Christian in this book. It's wonderful. It's amazing. So let's just, you know, it says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. God gave it. It was given by him, by his spirit. And it says it's profitable. What does that mean? It's usable. It's to be used for these things. So what are we supposed to do with it? What are we going to use it for? This, by the way, is the difference. When you are studying theology, I'm not saying you shouldn't study theology. I love theology. The thing is, you should study theology for the reasons listed here. People are studying theology just for the sake of studying. Studying in itself doesn't mean anything. You can study and study and study and study and never learn. Did you know that? The Bible says there are people, they are constantly studying and studying, but they never really learn. So whenever we study theology or when we study the Bible, this is the reason we should study it for. This is what the word is supposed to be used for, all right? So this is, I love this. You can tell I love the Bible. So it says it is profitable for doctrine, or that word also means teaching. See, the thing is, we need to be taught. It's true. You know, you get born again, and the Bible even uses these words like you're like a spiritual baby when you get born again. You have this new life in Jesus, this new life ahead of you. That is, you just entered a different kingdom. You were just taken from darkness into light, and all you knew up until this point was darkness. So now you're put into this wonderful kingdom of light, and now you need to learn some things. You need to unlearn some wrong things, relearn some stuff you maybe knew as a child, and then you have to learn some new things. All right, so we need to be taught. The Bible says that the people of God are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. There is just so much in here, it just will not do you any good if you don't know it. And then the Bible says, remember we talked about it, the parable of the sower. The Bible says if you don't understand it, then it won't do you any good either. Satan can just take it away pretty quickly. So we need to know the word, we need to understand the word, and that's what the word is good for, to teach it. We're supposed to teach it. That is why we are a Bible-teaching church, maybe a little bit more than other churches. You know, people have always said we're a little teachy when it comes to some things. You know what? Maybe. Maybe we overdo it sometimes. But this is why we overdo it sometimes. You know, we just want to do what God wants us to do with this book. So it's there so that we can teach, so that we can be taught. And it is important. It is important to be taught. It is important to study the word. But not for studying's sake, not because you have your list. Okay, I have studied the Bible today, I have prayed this morning, I have prayed before every meal, and I even sang a worship song in the car. Boy, am I a good Christian. That's not the point, right? There are reasons why God has given us the Bible. Not to look holy and wonderful and to have a black book with golden edges, you know, gold-edged pages under our arm. No, it's because God wants to teach us. What is he like? Who is he? What has he done for us? How does the kingdom of God work? How can you be blessed? How can you be a blessing? There's just so much that we need to renew our mind with. And the Bible says the way you renew your mind is with the scriptures. You're not sitting at home trying to fish for doctrine and teaching out there in the universe, whether it is you look at the stars or you look at the TV. Did you know that TV signals come from the universe too? Did you know that? TV signals, they just, you know, come into your home from out there, you know. Just stop looking out there and start looking in here. You know, this is the most important place for us to get our teaching. It is, it's the only final authority we have in the church for our teaching. People can teach whatever they want. I can teach whatever I want. It stands or falls with this. Does it agree with what God has said? What God chose to have written down? All right, now you can tell I'm pretty fundamentalist about that, but remember the emphasis of the word is fun. Fundamentalist, all right? That's me in a nutshell, all right? So, All right, so it says it's the word of God is profitable for doctrine, and then it says it's profitable for reproof. Oh, you thought this was the fun part? This is the fun part. It says the word of God is profitable for reproof, or that word also means rebuking or convicting. All right. See, the people who just left this room knew why. they knew the verse. See, the Bible says that the way we are supposed to use the scriptures is for rebuking, for convicting. Remember what the Bible says when Jesus rebuked his disciples? He usually started with, "Oh, you." You know, "Oh, you faithless generation. Oh, you bunch of," you know, he usually started with, "Oh, you." When he was rebuking his disciples. And you know what? Every once in a while when we look in the Bible, we should hear God go like, "Oh, you." Why? Because he hates us? No, because he loves us. And the Bible is there to show us, you know, where we are right. And the Bible is there to show us where we are wrong. And the Bible is supposed to show us where we need to change. I know we don't like, well, people think that, people always say, well, people don't like change. That's what they tell pastors. You know, they tell pastors, "Oh, in your church, you know, whenever you make a change, people don't like change." That's wrong. Did you know that? We love change. It just has to be the change that we want. That's the kind of change we love. You know, it's like when they say, "People don't want to be just a number." You know, people don't just want to be a number in church. They just don't want to be a number. Yes, they do want to be a number. They want to be number one in everything. You know, so, but the Bible shows us actually, you know, where we are right and where we are wrong and where we need to change. And boy, do we need to change. All of us. Our church needs to change. I need to change. My wife needs to change. My wife needs to change. Oh, sorry. You know, we always need to change. We are not all perfect yet. We're not all, you know, we need to change. You got the point. We need to change. All right. But then the really cool thing is this. It says that the Bible is good for doctrine, for reproof, but then it says it's good for correction. God doesn't just tell us where we went wrong. He also tells us how we can correct it. Now, that's the cool part, right? God is not just sitting there telling us where we're wrong, what we do wrong, where we need to change, and then it's our job to feel really bad about it. And if we felt bad about it long enough, maybe we're going to change. That's not the way it works. It's the way the church worked for quite a while, but that's not the way it works. One of the reasons God has given us this book, and I keep referring to this book. We don't worship a book. We don't glorify a book. But the Bible talks about the scripture, what was written down. Not just something somebody said that is anointed. What was written down, what he has given us in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. He has given it to us for these reasons. To teach us. Show us where we're right. Show us where we're wrong, and then when we're wrong, when we need to change, he shows us how to correct it. That word also means to make straight. You know, wherever things in your life are not going the way God wants it to go, that can be sin. Sin is not right. You go in a direction God doesn't want you to go. He shows you you're wrong, and he shows you how to correct it. But there are other things in our bodies, in our minds, in relationships, in our finances, whatever it is. When things go wrong, go into a direction that God does not want it to go, he shows us how to correct it. And God says this is what the scripture is to be used for. They're a good of great things, great books you can read. They're good. They're good. But you need this. You need this, and I encourage you to start with this. The Bible says that all scripture is inspired, given by God, profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, and then it says for instruction in righteousness, or that word also means for training, which is in righteousness. And here you can see it right there. There's a training process. We're not there yet. We're not, you know, there are just so many things in our mind, in our bodies, just the way we think things are supposed to run. There's so many things we need to learn. The word here actually in the Greek talks about the, one of the meanings is the whole spectrum of child training. And I know we don't like it. We don't like to think about us as children that need to be raised and trained, but that's what we are. We are His children. He is our Father. And He wants to raise us right. And the way He raises us right is through this. Not by sending you cancer to make you known that you have gone in the wrong direction. That's what people say. It's just not what the Bible says. The Bible says the Bible is to be used for that. God uses this word to correct you when you go off your path. Right? You don't have, there is not the will of God, then there is a little bit of a gray zone, and then you enter the cancer zone. You know, okay, so if you're a little bit, you know, just not really on the path, but you're a little bit off, you know, that's still kind of okay. But then, you know, there's the cancer zone. There's the AIDS zone, you know, there's the incurable disease zone, there's the poverty zone, you know. No. God's not going to do that. I mean, the devil's going to do that. He loves that. He loves it when you leave that path. But what God does all this time, He tells you, use this, just read it. Just, it tells you how to be blessed and happy and joyful all the time. But it's a training process. You know, we like to say one word from God can change your life forever. Is that true? Yes, it is. There are people, they have just read one word. They've just read, you know, the Bible says, Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And they said, wait a minute, it's not God that makes me sick, it's the devil. And they started a whole healing ministry just based on that scripture. So one scripture, one word from God can change your life, yes. But if you stay there, if that's the one scripture you always stay with, you will soon go off track. You need the scriptures, the whole word of God, all scripture. That's what you need to be correct, to be on the right path. So that's why God has given it to us, to teach us, to rebuke us, but at the same time to correct us, to tell us how to get right, and then to train us, to disciple us, to raise us as His children that become more and more like Daddy. Because that's what He wants. Ephesians 5 says, be imitators of God. He wants us to imitate Him, to be like Him more and more. And it's a process. We don't like process. We like events, right? We like the one word from God. We like the events. I went to that conference and everything changed. Amen. Everything changed for 2 weeks. And then it all went back to the old. It's a process. And events are great, but if events are not part of a process, you can forget it. It's just, you just have a happy clappy time and that's it. But events have to be part of a process. It's a training process. It takes time. But it's good. And then the Bible says in verse 17, the reason why God gave all this is that the man of God, and you know, in the Greek this word means man or woman. It talks about humankind, not just about male. You know, that the man or the woman of God, and then it says, first of all, may be complete or perfect. In the mind of God, a complete Christian, a perfect Christian, the way God wants us to be, a perfect child of the Most High God, is somebody with the Bible. Somebody that is studying the Bible, that is reading the Bible, that is learning through the Bible. God loves it when you have your Bible and read it and put it in your heart. I wanted to say, you know, in God's mind, the perfect Christian is a Christian with a Bible under his arm. But that's not true, because the Bible under your arm will not do you any good. You know, just like, you know, we talk about communion or baptism, you know, these things are important. They are biblical. Jesus talked about them, but you can go to hell with baptism water dripping off your face. You can go to hell with a communion wafer in your mouth. That's not what saves you. What saves you is Jesus. Putting your trust in Jesus and in what He has done for us. That's the only thing that forgives our sins. And baptism and communion are signs and symbols of that. But you know, it has to be here. It has to be in our heart. It's the same with the Word of God. So I like to have it under my arm. I like to read it. I love my Bible. I already said before the service, when you preach about the Bible, make sure you have a soft and floppy one, because that looks really spiritual. Right? You don't want to have this big book like, let's talk about the Bible. I love my Bible. No, you want to have a black one with gold edges and you want to be able to flop it around. It's a preacher's thing. We feel really authoritative when we do that. You don't just do this. You know, you say, you need to believe the word. You know, this is the way you do it. You learn that in preacher school. But that doesn't mean anything. It has to be here and here and here so it can fall into your heart. You have to put it in your eyes, your ears, your mouth, and then it falls into your heart, and that's where you keep it. And that's where it starts to make you complete, where it completes all the things in you that still need to be completed. But see, this is why he has given us this four. See, and some of you may be thinking all the time, well, what about the Holy Spirit? What about, you know, Jesus in our lives, the gifts of the Spirit, prophecy, all these? Yes, but this is where you learn about it. This is what tells you about it. This is what guides you through it, what explains to you how to use it. And there are all these people out there trying to teach you about the gifts of the Spirit, making stuff up. Because it looks good in a service, it's not in here. So that's why you always bring it back to here. You always check everything with here, because this is what will make you complete, a complete, whole Christian. And it's all in here. The Word of God is enough. It's enough. We don't need more for our life with God. Everything we need to know is just in here. And everything we do, you know, it says here the next, and I need to close with this, but in the next phrase, it says that the Word of God has been given to us so that we can thoroughly equipped for every good work. Boy, don't we want that? To be thoroughly equipped, have all the tools we need, everything we need to do the work, the will of God, the will of Jesus, every good work. Wouldn't that be awesome? To never have this feeling of, man, I would like to do that. I just don't know how. I'm lacking the tools. It's in here. That's what the Bible has been given us for. To equip us for these things. That's why God has given us the scriptures. To equip every man and woman of God to do every good work. And that's why he has given us. And you know, every church program, every church group, every church event is supposed to point you towards this. It's supposed to be based on the Bible. It's supposed to point you to the Word of God. It's supposed to cause you to grow in the Word of God. That's what they are for. And that's the reason why we have them. We don't have them just to have them. Church, there are too many churches that just have programs. And you know what? I like it. Programs are great. I want this church to have everything, from classes about how to do finances right, to cooking classes, to sports schools. If somebody wants to learn, I don't know what you want to learn, judo, karate, soccer, whatever you want to learn, you know that we have schools and music. I want that. I would love that. I think that's awesome. But it has no eternal value whatsoever if it is not part of this, and if this is not part of it. Because this is what God has given us, to be complete, to be equipped. You can teach somebody how to play the piano however you want. If you want to lead a congregation in worship, there is something else you need to know. It's not just the skills. And then there are other people, they sound horrible, but they worship God. Now here's the problem. People think we need to choose. I don't think we need to choose between the good piano player and the horrible sounding one, but they know how to worship. Thank God for Herbert. but see, this is the thing, you know, it's not either or. But the thing that we need in order to make it pleasing to God and to make it a good work in the sight of God and to equip us, the thing we need is in here. It is found in the Bible. In every church program, every time we meet, every time, it's supposed to point us towards the Word of God and to make us grow into the Word of God, because we need to grow. Ephesians 4 says that part of God's purpose for us is to grow into Christ in all things. He wants us to be like God. He wants us to become more and more like Christ. It's a process. Growing is a process. And there can be growing pains along the way. But boy, once you're an adult, you look back and you say, man, am I glad that's over. I'm an adult now. I have my own money. I can buy whatever I want. My daughter introduced me to a new app on my phone. It's a game that she really likes, and it's one of these games, you can play it without spending money, but you can play it faster if you have a little money to spend on the game. So we're playing, and I'm faster at the game than she is. And, you know, she just said, that's mean, you know, that's unfair. Why are you so fast? Why are you so advanced at that game? And I said, because I earn money. And I can spend money on it. That's why. I don't know where I was going with this, but I was just reminded of that. You know, there are just things when you're an adult, you love to be an adult. Every once in a while you think, oh, I wish I could be a child again. No, you don't. It was great when you were a child, but now you're an adult. You don't want to be a child knowing what you know now. You don't want to be, you know, God has a purpose for you now. The stage of your life you're in right now, wherever you are, there's a reason why you're there. And you still need to grow. All the things you went through will serve you now. But hey, you still need to grow. We still need to grow. And growth without change is impossible. We need to change. And the Bible says that all we have, all we need is right in here. And all the books we read and all the TV preachers we look at and even me, our job is to point you to what God says. Not to look good, not to be your favorite preacher, not to be your favorite author, to point you toward what God says. Because when you come in agreement with what the creator of heaven and earth and the creator of you has said about you, you live the best life you can live. It doesn't get any better than that. And then no matter what happens, you will still be happy and joyful because you have somebody to cast your care on. You have somebody to look up to. You know where your help comes from. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. But it all comes through here. Not through church tradition. Not through the guy in the front that looks really anointed. Not the guy with the expensive suit. Not the guy with a big ministry, by the way. Just because you have a big ministry, it doesn't mean anything. It just means you were at the right place at the right time and had the right consultants. That's all it means. I'm not saying big ministry is wrong. I'm just saying just because somebody has a big ministry doesn't mean anything. The Pharisees had a bigger ministry than Jesus. And what Jesus did was still much more important than what they did. And the Bible says what they did was like filthy rags. And what Jesus did gave us life and life in abundance. So what did Pastor preach about today? The Bible. That's it. But I just want to encourage you, you know, read it. And you will come across scriptures that you don't understand. Good, skip them. Read on. There will be scriptures you do understand. And then as you keep reading and studying, you will be able to connect the dots. You will see things, and if you don't understand them, that's what pastors are for. You can ask us. And then if I don't understand them, well, then I know somebody else to ask that has studied this word maybe more than I did. But we will see what God says, and we will walk in what God says. And I want to encourage you to do it because I know that we as a church want to do it. Amen? Amen. All right, let's stand. And let's sing one more time before we close the service. I'm just so thankful for His Word. I tell you, every morning and every night, this is my thing. You need to forgive me. This is my thing. That's the first thing out of my mind. I thank you for your Word. I know what God is like. I don't have to wonder. When there are people, you know, as a pastor, you meet people, they look at you with desperation in their eyes. Why do I have cancer? Why did God do that to me? And I know it wasn't God. I know who it was. I know what God says. There are a lot of answers I don't have, but this I do know. And I know it from here. Not because this is the truth I choose to believe. Not because this is the truth I like. I know it from here. I know what God is like. I know how much He loves me. That's amazing. I need to stop now because you know me. I'm not going to stop if I don't step off this platform. So, amen. Amen. All right, we need to close the service. But if you're here today and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, people have looked for ways to God for millennia. For thousands of years, people were wondering, well, here I am. People were wondering, you know, how can I come to God? How can I get to God, whoever that is? Well, God has revealed himself in Jesus. He has revealed himself to the world in Jesus. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not just one way, not just one truth, not just one life. He's it. He's the real deal. So the Bible says that's the only name given to us by which we can be saved. So if you wonder, how can I have a relationship with God? How can I have my sins forgiven? How can I have this new life? Jesus. So if you're here today and you would like to receive that in your life, we will close the service in a moment. We'll have a team up here that would love to talk to you and show you in the Word what Jesus himself said, you know, what's important and how that works. I'll give you a little hint. The Bible says it's a gift. So when you come here, you don't have to be afraid that we will give you a list of all the things you need to do. All it says, it's a gift. He wants to give it to you, and all you need to do is take it. Well, that's too good to be true. No, it's too good, and it is true. Because that's what God is like. He loves us so much, and he knew we can't do it in our own strength, so he did it for us. If you're here and you're already saved, you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, you're welcome to come up as well. And if there's anything else you need, if there is agreement, prayer, anything, an encouragement, you know, whatever you need. We'll have a team up here. We would love to minister to you. I just would like to ask you, you know, if you walk this way, you know, for coffee and tea, that you don't do it here through the front. You know, our ushers will watch this a little bit because when people are praying here, you know, it's a little hard when people have conversations here and walking, you know, so if you could walk through the back, that would be greatly appreciated. But God is good. And I would encourage you, you know, just make determined in your heart to put God first place in your life, always. And the way to do that is to put his Word first place in your life. God bless you. Have a great week, and we'll see you Friday or Sunday.